It's Tuesday, August 16th, and welcome to our live broadcast called This and That. And I'm your host, Pastor David Ripley. This is where I get to offer my opinions on the news headlines of the day. This and That airs Tuesdays at 7 p.m. and is rebroadcast Thursdays at 7 p.m. Again, before we get into today's stories, let me state that the opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Grace Christian Fellowship or Grace Christian Radio. I'd like to welcome again our producer, Adam Sumbler, to the program
Good
tonight.
Good afternoon. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing very well. Let me begin with the weather for tomorrow, August the 17th.
It's almost September.
Don't even say that, September. That being said, Adam, I would have to say that September is one of my favorite months.
A little bit of hot, a little bit of cold.
That's right.
It's sort of a perfect month.
It can be.
True.
It can be a perfect month. Although I do remember on October the 1st of 2017.
Oh, no, don't say that. I know what you're going to say.
As I was traveling from Toronto and crossing Alberta, what do you think I came across?
That white stuff that we don't want to talk about yet.
The white stuff that we don't want to talk about yet. That's right. Blizzard. A blizzard on October the 1st, 2017. It was so bad.
Yeah.
I had to stop in Medicine Hat.
Oh, yeah.
And wait it out.
Well, to be fair, we did have hail just last weekend.
We did.
With those crazy storms. So.
We did. I experienced it. Anyway, the interesting thing about my trip is at that time I had a budgie.
Oh, a bird.
I had a bird. Yeah. I did have a budgie bird. And it was the funniest little bird because it would always sit on my shoulder while I was driving.
Okay, yeah.
And as I was, you know, making my way across Alberta during this blizzard and after this blizzard,
right.
You know, the roads were uneven, bumping mm-hmm. around, and the bird was on my shoulder going up and down, up and down.
It was your own bobblehead.
Do you know what I called that bird?
No, I don't know.
You don't know the name of that bird,
no.
Do you? It's something very original. I called him, are you ready for it?
Tweety Bird?
Nope. Birdie.
Birdie. Oh, Birdie, that's funny.
I called him Birdie. And that's got to be an original.
I mean, there are people that call their cat, cat.
That's true. That's true.
At least Birdie has a little flair.
And I've added something to my dog's name. Now, my dog's name, as you know, is Rex.
Yeah, Rex,
right?
Yeah.
I've added Mr. Rex.
Mr. Rex. He's grown up.
Yeah, he's grown up now. He's actually going to be a year old on the 24th of August.
Wow.
So we gave him a bow tie.
Yep.
And now he's Mr. Rex.
Nice.
Mr. Rex. Well, that's all the trivia I have for tonight.
Trivia day.
On a more serious note, as we get into today's stories, a gunman wounded at least 8 people aboard a bus carrying Jewish worshipers in the old city of Jerusalem on Sunday,
wow.
Israeli authorities and witnesses said. And we know that it's a tinderbox over there.
It is.
And there's a lot of things happening. And as a believer, we know that Israel and what happens to Israel is very much integrated into the Bible, especially the book of Revelation.
Right, yes.
And the book of Daniel and several other Old Testament prophets. So we watch Israel very closely. And so I bring out that story tonight. The Bible says very clearly that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's
right.
Something that we need to do. And as Christians, we continually pray for that nation. And of course, in Grace Christian Fellowship, on our platform, we have the Israeli flag.
Yes, we do.
To remind us to pray for the people of Israel, mm-hmm. and especially for the city of Jerusalem. Well, let's get to another story. The outbreak of monkeypox, which has so far mostly affected men who have sex with men, has prompted concerns over the potential stigmatization. I said it right, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Of the gay community. But some gay activists are expressing frustration over what they believe is a reluctance by policymakers and public health officials to speak directly to gay men with messaging about the risks of infection and what they see as the need to curb some sexual activity.
I got so much to say, I don't know where to start.
Well, start at the beginning.
Well, I think it's, I think we know some of that sexual activity is not right and could lead to lots of diseases because of how they do it and what they do.
And, you know, this is the question.
And, yeah.
It begs the question as to why a disease would begin in a particular community.
I mean, that's another thing. Like, that was my sort of next thing I was thinking about, too, is, like, why aren't they looking and be like, why is it predominant here?
Right.
Right? Yeah.
It's a good question.
Instead of looking at why it's predominant here, they're more concerned about the gay community being targeted because of it.
Yep. Well, they're encouraging those in the gay community to get their vaccination, the smallpox vaccine, yeah, which apparently is effective against monkeypox. Mm. And so they're targeting especially men who have sex with men to get, you know, get their vaccine. And so, I mean, it's hard to not stigmatize a particular community when that community is what is producing this particular outbreak.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's, yeah.
Well, moving on to other ailments that are affecting humanity, they found the polio disease.
It's back.
Infection. In London, New York, and apparently in Jerusalem.
Wow.
Mm. And the question is, how dangerous is it? And apparently there's been some people that have gotten infected and have become paralyzed.
Wow.
Now, we know many, many years ago this was a very dangerous disease.
Yep.
And I was watching a program on TV a few nights ago where a man in a wheelchair as a result of this paralyzing infection was sharing, you know, how important it is to get vaccinated against polio. Now, I think I've been vaccinated. Now, I don't know if you've been vaccinated.
Yeah, against polio. Majority of kids get your polio, measles, mumps.
Yeah, exactly.
Vaccines when you're young.
Exactly. Yeah. But they're saying that there's a new generation that apparently are not being vaccinated, and as a result, this particular strain of polio is resurfacing.
Right.
It's resurfacing. And you wonder what all these things that are happening on the planet, you know, why is this happening? Does it have anything to do with Bible prophecy that in the last days there are going to be plagues and there are going to be famines,
right,
and so on and so forth? We've talked about that many times on this program, and we're seeing these things take place. It doesn't seem like it's only a week or two and something else rises up, but this is something that was apparently eradicated and is resurfacing.
Yeah, I was just looking. It was like back in, let me go back to this article real quick. But it was the article was saying like back in 2000, and this is from the National Health Organization. Back in 2021, they like before 2021, they believe they successfully eradicated polio. Like they couldn't find it. But back in like 2021, they had 6 reported cases come up.
In Canada?
It's the World Health, so I think just across the world.
Okay, okay. Well, we know that these things are happening. Moving to another story, the headline is, "We've been abandoned. Man dies in BC town waiting for health care near ambulance station."
It's happened. We talked about this last week.
We did.
Yeah.
or the week before.
Week before, yes, that's right.
We talked about it, and we see now that these things are beginning to surface, and we're beginning to hear more people talking about the fact that they're not getting the care that they need when they need it because of the crisis that is across Canada,
yeah.
In Ontario, here in BC, and again,
mm-hmm.
Our own emergency room here in Creston, BC, yep. has been shut down a few
Twice.
Times.
Yep.
Yeah,
at two
least
nights.
Two nights
it's
been shut
yep.
down, and we don't know how many times that's going to happen again. And, you know, they're already preparing us for September and October that coronavirus is going to spread again, and we're wondering, you know, what's going to happen to the healthcare system. You
yeah.
know, nurses are resigning. They're giving up in droves.
Yep.
In droves.
Yeah, there's not enough of them.
There's not enough of them.
And we laid a lot off.
Yes, that's true.
I think their job is very difficult.
It is a difficult job.
I don't think patients are always the nicest.
No, they're not. No, I agree with you 100%. And it just, you know, they're the front line.
Yeah, they are.
They're the front line. And we need to be praying for our nurses. And we need to be praying that somehow through all of this that people will turn to God.
Yeah.
They will ultimately turn to the Lord Jesus Christ to help them, to minister to them in their moment of need. And, you know, God is able.
Yep.
You know, maybe we've put too much emphasis on healthcare and not enough on God helping us in the midst of these crisis situations.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm not a prophet, but I think this is going to increase.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not
going to
get better.
No. It's not going to get better. Like, even if you look in general, like, if we look outside of just the healthcare system and we look at just stores, even in Creston today, I went to go down to the Source, what used to be called the Radio Shack way back
Oh,
in the
I
days.
Remember the Radio Shack. Oh, those are the days.
Those
the
are
Radio
the days.
Shack.
So I went down to the Source to go pick up something small that I needed, and it was closed today. And the sign on the door said, closed till tomorrow due to shortage of employees.
Wow.
So we're already seeing it, like, not just our healthcare system. We're seeing it in all places. And my question is, where are the workers go, right? Because this is sort of like came after COVID. Where did the workers go? And, you know, I think we all need to get ready and prepared that things aren't going to be the same as they were pre-COVID. I think we're going to see less and less like service jobs, aka restaurants, places like the Source, clothing stores, open for as late and as many hours as they used to be.
Now, do you think that they were closed because people were sick, or do you think they were closed because they just can't find enough employees to fill that those positions?
I think it's they can't find enough employees, and I think it's for many different reasons. I don't know, like, our local Source, what their how much they pay their employees and stuff like that. But I think people are finding in all jobs, there's just a shortage of workers. And I don't know where people have gone. I don't know where they are. I think a little bit that people have learned that through COVID, I think one good thing that COVID brought is people learned how important family time is and spending time
yes.
with your family and loved ones and your friends. Because we did pre-COVID live a very like, you need to work to live. And I think maybe COVID sort of showed people like, no, the more important things are your family and your loved ones. So people are tending not to work those crazy hours anymore and picking up extra shifts. And they're just like, we'll make do with what we have.
Mm.
Which is sort of also scary because the prices of everything are going up.
Absolutely.
But anyways, back to the healthcare workers. That's also very scary because, as we talked about last time, if we don't have emergency services, people are going to die.
Yeah, they're going to have to travel farther.
Yeah.
And in that traveling, a lot of things can happen. Complications can arise.
Like when someone has a, what's it where you like you lose all feeling in your side and
paralysis?
No. Mostly happens in guys. Strokes. When someone has a stroke, like they need assistance quick.
Absolutely.
Right? And if they don't have those assistances, they will have severe consequences or death. So it's scary, and I think the government needs to take it serious And I think one way to take it serious is to look to bring our workers back in BC.
Yes.
And I think another way is to look about how to make the nurses, how to reduce the burnout rate of nurses. Mm. What's causing that and helping that burnout rate? So anyway, that's my
opinion. Good point. Well, this is a statistic that really shocked me.
Okay.
In 2021.
Right.
And from all reason, that would be last year. Just checking. More than 10,000 Canadians received a medically assisted death.
10,000?
10,000.
In the last year.
In 2021. Wow. 10,000 Canadians received a medically assisted death.
Wow. That's a lot.
Only months after Ottawa greenlit one of the world's most liberal euthanasia regimes, a series of controversial state-sanctioned deaths have attracted growing international criticism that the Canadian health system now seems to be actively killing its disabled patients.
Wow.
This week, a feature by the Associated Press quoted secretly recorded audio from a London, Ontario hospital that appeared to show a medical ethicist raising the subject of euthanasia with a disabled patient, Roger Foley, after reminding him that he was costing the system north of $1,500 a day.
So they told him how much he's costing.
Yes.
That shouldn't matter.
You know, this is a wake-up call.
Yes.
This is a big, huge, massive, gigantic wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
Putting pressure on someone to end their life. Apparently, that's what this article is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Putting pressure on someone to end their life because they happen to be costing the healthcare system $1,500 a day.
So wrong.
So money is becoming more important, or budgets are becoming more important than human life.
Than someone's life, yeah.
That's right.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's a slippery slope, Adam.
That is.
That is a very slippery slope. And that really angers me when I think about the liberal regime, the liberal government, and all of the things that they are doing, even now with the help of the NDP government, to keep them in power. Even though they're a minority government, they have the NDP backing them up.
Yep.
And we see these kinds of things rising up. I'm wondering what is going to happen next. And you think about it. You know, somebody, they may have a mental a deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
They may be disabled. I think about my own niece that's in a wheelchair that we're taking care of. What would happen if you know, Gina and I were out of the picture, something happened to us, she's left on her own, what would they do with her?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's something to get angry about. It's something to wake up about.
Yep.
You know, especially as we get older in our years, what does the government have up their sleeve when it comes to euthanasia?
Yeah.
This is a very serious situation. When I read this article today, preparing for the program tonight, I mean, it really got under my skin.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, because, like, I think at no point a patient should know what it's costing. Because that impacts someone's decision, right?
Absolutely.
Right? Because it makes them feel like they're a burden on people.
Exactly.
And no one should feel like they're a burden on somebody.
No, no.
You know?
I mean, this is something that I just brought this in tonight.
Right.
This just came on the wire.
You said it was 10,000?
It was 10,000 that ended their life. But this particular story that I've just mentioned just came out, and you know, I just had to add it to the program tonight, because you know, we're just sitting here and we're thinking, oh well, everything's getting back to normal, and we're doing great, and they're saying even inflation is going to go down, and the price of lumber is tumbling, and wheat's going down, and so on and so forth, and we think we're in the clear and everything is getting back to normal. It is not going back to normal.
Yeah.
I'm saying that. You said it tonight
yeah.
on the broadcast. It's not going back to normal. We can't go back to sleep and think, you know, everything's okay. This article tonight shocked me. This article yeah. tonight shocked me. I never thought that this kind of pressure would ever be put on anyone to end their life. These kind of statements should never be made to anyone.
No.
And we don't even know the condition of this person.
No, they're not stating it.
They're not stating what the condition is. So I think it's something that we just need to be aware of. But, you know, 10,000 people, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot. So I just did the math real quick. And so we have 35 million, give or take, in Canada.
37, I think, isn't it?
37 now. So I did the math real quick. And like 10,000 people in a year, I know this number doesn't sound big, but it is 0.2% of yeah. Canada population. So
it's a large amount. Well, the Pfizer CEO, who is he?
He wants more money?
No.
Oh.
He tested positive for COVID-19 and has mild symptoms. I shouldn't laugh.
I mean, we shouldn't laugh, but it's just sort of a funny thing because it's like pro drugs, and it's like, and you get COVID.
But he has mild symptoms.
Mild symptoms.
Along with most people right. having mild symptoms.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting article. British mental health experts warn cannabis is not a harmless drug. It's linked to psychosis and addiction. Is that an eye-opener or what, Adam?
No, I mean, I already knew that.
Like, you already knew that.
Okay, like, I mean, you know, I grew up during the 90s, right? You know,
yeah.
and, you know, luckily for me, I stayed away from all that stuff. But I had some friends that indulged in their younger years. And when they got into their mid-20s, man, their brains were fried. Like, they just did not think the same. And they're just really slow.
Did they go into politics?
No, but maybe that's where they are going. But I think that's the way with every drug, even people who, you know, drink a lot over time. Excessiveness with everything, food, you know, too much TV, too much anything. Excessiveness yeah. of anything, including drugs, is just, yeah.
Anyway, this just came out. British mental health experts warn cannabis is not a harmless drug. It's linked to psychosis and addiction. And you've brought up some good points tonight,
yeah.
some very good points. And I, you know, you kind of wonder. I heard a statistic, and I can't remember which province it is.
Right.
It might be Ontario. Maybe you can look it
yeah,
up.
I can look it up.
That there are more cannabis stores now in one province than Tim Hortons.
Okay, I got to look it up real quick.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to be able to find that statistic. I'm not sure if it's Ontario or which province it is, but there are more cannabis shops than there are Tim Hortons. And I thought that was stunning because, you know, there's just so many Tim Hortons. Well, I mean...
All right, I got it.
You got it. Okay, what's it say?
Manitoba.
Oh, it's Manitoba. Okay. I wasn't sure which province
yeah,
it was.
Manitoba.
But, you know, you take Creston, right? There's one Tim Hortons, and how many cannabis shops are there?
Well, there was four at one point, but now we're down to two. Two closed down.
Okay, two closed down.
I thought right off the bat, I'm like, how are you going to run four cannabis stores in small Creston? But, yeah,
yeah.
There's still two. There's more cannabis.
So that's Manitoba.
Yeah, Manitoba.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I wasn't sure. As crime surges in U.S. cities, strained police forces turn to houses of worship for help.
Mm.
I think that's a good thing.
That's a great thing.
Closer to home, more than half of U.S. Protestant pastors believe when it refers to Christians,
right.
believe that comfort... 67% of Christians think that comfort is the most important thing, one of the most important things in their lives. Control or security, 56%. Money, 55%. And approval, 51%. And these pastors are saying these are idols that have significant influence on their congregations.
Wow.
Comfort, number one.
But what do they mean by comfort?
Well,
does it say?
I mean...
Because, like, having... finances can create comfort.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? There's some great but fine comfort.
You know how commercials get you to purchase things that you don't really need.
Yes, yes.
You know, like overextending yourself.
Okay.
Beyond the reasonable.
Yeah, so they're in reasonable places.
Yeah, to provide comfort for yourself. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I remember watching this movie one time. I can't remember if it was some sort of a scientific kind of a funny comedy movie where, you know, the husband and father created this apparatus that made pancakes and put them right on the plate without having to, you know, expend any energy at all. I can't remember what that
reminds me of, like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or something like that.
You know what? Yeah, I think it was along that line.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what they're talking about. You know, things that are not absolutely necessary,
right, yeah.
And you get into extending yourself beyond what's normal just so you can feel comfortable.
Yeah. Mm.
And then controller security, 56%, money, 55%, and approval, 51%. Mm. You know, as we see these things happening around the world, and we see what's happening in North America, we have to check our own pulse.
Yep.
As believers and find out what's going on with us.
Yeah, it's, you know, a, it's find a good
out,
question.
Yeah, find out what's going on inside our own hearts as we see all of these things happening around the world. Well, one good bit of news tonight is the Lord is at work, Adam.
He's always at work.
Yes. Signs Christianity is growing amid brutal, chaotic, and Taliban-ravaged Afghanistan.
Wow.
This is from CBN News, and they're saying God is at work in Afghanistan.
CBN?
CBN.
Said God's at work.
Yeah, saying that God is at work in Afghanistan. And the Christian Broadcasting Network, that's what CBN stands for. And they're saying that there are signs that Christianity, the work of the Holy Spirit, is progressing in Afghanistan, in that brutal, chaotic, and Taliban-ravaged country.
That's awesome.
I mean, you know, someone was telling me the other day that there are more Christians in China than in North America. And you know, a lot of the Christians are underground. I mean, let's be honest, there's over a billion people living in China.
Yeah,
right?
I was just thinking about it. I was like, I bet you that number is actually true.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes we don't see what God is doing because it's underground.
Yeah.
You know, we don't see it. You know, North American Christianity is on TV, on radio, like we are tonight. But, you know, there's a lot of things happening under the radar that we don't see, but God is at work. And I think that should encourage us to keep on praying, keep on seeking the Lord, because God is doing a work. Well, as I always do on this program, I always end with the Word of God.
Correct.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 21, and it's a prayer for spiritual wisdom. And in the midst of everything that we've talked about tonight, in the midst of it all, we need God's wisdom.
We always do.
We need God's wisdom. You know, our own natural wisdom is not enough. Anything that man can provide in and of itself is not enough. We need godly wisdom. So let me just read these verses. Beginning at verse number 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You know, Adam, the greatest knowledge that we can have is the knowledge of God.
Yep.
And that's not just a head knowledge, that's a heart knowledge.
Absolutely.
That's a divine revelation that comes to us by the Holy Spirit and opens up the Bible to us and opens up the character of God to us in very powerful ways. says here, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Praise God. You know, we need our eyes to be enlightened. If there's ever a time that we need our eyes to be enlightened, it's today. There's so much information coming our way.
Yeah, every day.
There's so much information, books, and you can get on the internet, and there's just so much. I mean, it's just piles on. Sometimes it's just way too much.
You couldn't live a long enough lifetime to consume it all.
You couldn't. But the greatest understanding is that which is given by God. That you may know the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. You know, the Bible says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God.
Yeah.
And God will give liberally. Father, I just pray for those that are listening tonight, wherever they may be, whatever they may be going through, Lord. Maybe a lot of things are causing them to be disheartened. They hear the news. They see what's happening, and it's causing them to be fearful. Lord, I pray as they seek your face, as your followers, as they seek your face, that you will open up heaven to them, that you will show them, O Lord, that you are with them. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, I just pray for that divine, holy illumination and revelation. It would come to each and every believer in this hour, Lord. Father, we see your will unfolding before our very eyes, and we thank you for that tonight. So, Lord, I just pray for your people that you would just strengthen them and minister to them in Jesus' name. Well, this is Pastor David Ripley, believe it or not, signing off. Have a blessed evening.